This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of AeroCode 8, we've got news about the iPad 3, releases from Mobile World Congress, and you want me to decrypt my data? Say please. Stay tuned. Listening to AeroCode 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Welcome back again, everybody.
Can't you hear the excitement in his voice? Because I am telling you, Mobile World Congress has happened, and Sam just gets all giggly. See? Giggles.
See?
Yes, Mobile World Congress, I believe it's actually, is it over, or is it still happening? I think it's still happening.
It ends on the 1st.
On the 1st.
Yep. It's I know it this time.
Giant geek kegger. Anyway, Mobile World Congress is happening right now, but I have striking new news that doesn't have to do with Mobile World Congress. That's right. I didn't put that first because every other show on the planet is putting Mobile World Congress first in their notes. I'm not like everyone else. That's why you listen to us, because we're different. My little piece of news, and a lot of people who know me well enough know what this piece of news is, because they pretty much heard me squee when this news broke earlier today, and that is that Apple has confirmed an event for March 7th in San Francisco, and the actual invitation to the event shows what appears to be an iPad. So we could be getting an iPad 3, or reasonable facsimile thereof, on March 7th. Does that excite you, Sam?
Sure. We'll go with sure.
Okay.
I would be super excited if I had a mailbox to receive an invitation to it, but since I don't, I know I'm not going to get that invitation, and as such, I can't get excited about it.
I would be excited if Apple sent me an invitation, too. I would probably never make it there. I'd probably die of a heart attack first, but, you know, same basic principle.
I'm curious. I'm actually legitimately curious to see if they are launching a new iPad, what new
How could it get any better?
How can it become useful?
Oh,
I'm sorry. No, it's actually, to this day, I really wish Apple would put more music focus into their tablets. I think that's a market they're missing. I would pick up an iPad 3, iPad 2S, whatever it is they're going to end up calling this thing, and if it had a higher dedication to music. Really, really would.
That's odd.
Well, just, have you ever recorded to a laptop? It's great. It's way better than recording to a desktop, which requires you to be in one place. You can't shift around. Being in a band, we shift around recording places every once in a while.
You mean to record, not to play. I was wondering, because I'm like, man,
Yeah.
Having an iPad in your pocket to play your tunes is a little much.
I actually, almost for anything, really, I mean, my touchpad has become my music player, but that's because the touchpad is actually excellently loud for being a tablet. And then whenever I do plug in headphones, you know, it's got the Beats by Dr. Dre, so it sounds good on the headphone end. But I've always been disappointed every time I've borrowed. Oh, what's that?
It's extra beady.
Yes. But iPads always disappointed me as a music machine, which I think is something that since I can have it around with me everywhere in my house, why would I not carry around my music player? Why limit myself to one room or really expensive entertainment systems to spread music throughout my house?
Very true. We'll have to see. There's a lot of different rumors going around about this. You know, a Retina display that's a higher resolution, more storage, faster processor, quad core. I have a feeling Apple would be completely out in the dark if they didn't put quad core in this at least. If Siri comes to the iPad, I think that will be unbefreaking-leavable. Because Siri is so useful on the iPhone 4, I think it would translate well to the iPad.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Actually, it makes more sense almost on the iPad.
Yeah.
Just for the simple fact that it really is, since it's replacing generally a computer or anything else like that, it's so much more interactive than a computer. And again, like I said, I carry my touchpad around everywhere. The ability to be cooking and look something up without needing to having a program that's intelligent in regards to looking things up is amazing.
Exactly. You know, Siri, how many cups of flour do I need for cookies?
Exactly.
You know, your hands are covered in egg. You can just, say this command and boom, it comes up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect use case for it right there.
Yep.
You know, or I don't know many people who'd have their iPad in this situation, but Siri, where is the oil plug on a 2004 Avenger? Yeah. The Avengers didn't come out till 2008. But anyway.
True.
I mixed up two different cars that I own in my head.
Well, at least you knew the correct info there.
I did. Yep. I got an 04 Neon and an 08 Avenger, and I mixed them up. Anyway, but yeah, hands covered in oil. Don't want to touch your iPad. Personally, I wouldn't have my iPad out in the driveway, but to each
his. I take my touchpad out there, and those things are impossible to find nowadays.
Ugh, there's a reason.
This is
true.
Ouch.
I
won't deny
Dang.
That.
Dang.
Still a collector's item. There's people out there, collecting Volvos and, Gremlins.
It is. No, I think I think Newegg actually has some refurbished touchpads.
Yeah, I don't want to refurb, though. Mine's new.
Well,
what's new?
Not everyone was lucky enough to get in on that $100 deal.
Oh, I wasn't either.
Oh. Dang, man.
I found a guy.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Well, that makes sense. All right. Our next socket of news, Mobile World Congress. Woo! Everyone, this pretty much takes over the tech world when it happens. It's just like CES. Or E3 is to the gaming world. Whenever this big conference happens, there is no other news coming out. So let's each take, how about this? I'll say something I want to talk about, then you'll say something you want to talk about. We'll cover four or five different things. And since I'm the host and you're always the guest host, you go ahead and you start. What would you like to talk about? Anything.
Mm-hmm. Let's start actually with the only – oh, no. Hang on. I want to say we'll start with the services first. But we'll start with AT&T and their new developers pay for apps.
No. Hold on. Jumping ahead in the notes.
Oh, I did. I did. You said pick.
We're talking Mobile World Congress. One of the billions of phones that look exactly the same as every billion other phones that have come out of Mobile World Congress. There is one that you brought to my attention that I had a feeling you wanted to talk about.
I wanted to save hardware. Hang on 1 second. There we go. All right, we'll talk about that then. Fine.
Yay.
We'll let the host have his way.
Yes, well, that's the, how it works.
The Nokia PureView 808.
So
it is
pretty.
An exercise in both gluttony and
gluttony,
gluttony. Oh, obviously, yeah, gluttony and extravagancy.
Gluttony and gluttony, pretty much.
It is the world's most powerful camera phone. Can you guess how many megapixels Nokia has decided to throw at this thing?
Well, let's see. a camera that I'm looking at buying has 20 megapixels, give or take, somewhere in there. The camera that I own has 14. Nokia is known for going over the top. I'm going to say it has 30.
Oh, close, but you're just a little bit shy.
What's it got?
Sitting 41 megapixels with 38 effective megapixels.
I just puked in my mouth a little bit.
Yep. The just for those of you who are curious, yes, it still comes with a Carl Zeiss lens, autofocus, xenon flash. But this boy is sitting at 7,152 by 5,368 pixels at maximum capacity. For those who don't know anything about cameras, there is no relative reason anyone in the world would ever really need to take a 41 megapixel camera with a camera phone.
You're literally talking about a photo that is roughly, and I'm just spitballing here, but is roughly 24 feet by 16 feet at 40 dots per inch. That's standard billboard quality.
Exactly.
Blah.
Oh, yeah. And sadly, it doesn't come with all those other high megapixel cameras out there that have all the extra features. This doesn't. It is just one thing, and that is taking a still picture at high megapixel rating, or you can drop the megapixels down to, I believe, 5 and 8. There are settings for 5 and 8, if I remember correctly. But you don't get... And you get whatever, you know, the panorama views, things like that. But you're not getting high-speed shutter rates. You're not getting image capture while video shooting. You're not getting anything like that. You're just getting a very powerful camera.
Wow. That is... There is no reason, none in the entire world. There is not a single solitary reason that this phone needs to exist. I just...
Nope.
I mean, number one, it's ugly as sin. I mean...
Oh, it is.
Just plain ugly. There's not a single endearing factor to the entire phone. Number two, a 41 megapixel image. If you take it at full resolution, number one, it's going to take forever for that thing to actually transfer to flash media. Number two, if it doesn't take forever, and it is quick, guess how long your flash media is going to last? Zip. It's going to be such a large file that it's going to be ridiculously huge. It's just going to fill your media up in time flat.
Now, for those device junkies out there that are considering it, that maybe it's this awesome hardware and you really want the best that there is out there, well, take this into consideration. It weighs nearly 170 grams. That is really, really, really heavy. In fact, sometimes in some situations, nearly twice the weight of any other phone on the market. It's only a single core processor at the 1.3 gigahertz. It runs the Bell OS, which is Symbian, for those of you who remember it called by that name. So it's not going to have any major apps. It's not going to be intuitive to use. It's got some decent storage options, but only half a gig of RAM. So while you're waiting for your camera to shutter and for it to store a 41 megapixel picture, you're going to be sitting.
Now, I'm reading here that the default is actually 5 megapixels.
Yeah.
But you can turn it up.
Yes.
But having it at 30, and the sensor is 38 megapixels. The 5 megapixel setting condenses the pixels on the sensor to where it's actually just condensing the photograph. The basic file size for your 38 megapixel image is 5.2 megabytes a piece.
Yep.
That's going to fill you up real fast.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And it doesn't even have a screen technically capable. Nokia doesn't have screens like on an iPhone or on some of the high-end Samsungs. It's just a 360 by 640 pixel 4-inch capacitive touchscreen. You won't even be able to enjoy even your higher-end. Like, if you don't set it all the way to max, the fact is you're really only going to be enjoying that 5 megapixels. Anything more than that, your screen isn't even going to truly display.
Mm. Yeah, doesn't need to exist.
Nope.
That's my last comment on it. It just doesn't need to exist.
Nope.
All right. Anyway, okay, I'll talk about the next one. This one's actually got me quite interested. As a person who loves to be on the go, Duracell has released a new technology they've been working on. It's quite interesting. It is basically, you know, whenever you, like the power mat stuff, where you put your phone in a special case and you set it down on a power mat and it inductively charges your phone so you don't have to plug it in. You just pick it up and go. This, just this technology in general is very interesting to me. However, not all phones have a case for it. Some of the phones that do have cases, they're gigantic, bulky things. Now, one of the things that Duracell has started to release here at WWDC, or that's Worldwide Developers Conference. I got Apple on the brain. It's the problem here. Has released at Mobile World Congress is an addition, like a little card that you put in the back of your phone. You put it over the battery, and it connects to the battery's connectors. Basically, it looks as if it goes in between the battery and the phone. What this is it's an NFC antenna and an inductive charger built into one, literally smaller than your battery and what looks to be the thickness of a credit card. Just slap this in there, put the backpack on your battery, and it works with all the Duracell power mats by default. Now, there are some drawbacks, like the fact that not all of the connectors on all the phones work with it. Obviously, it's brand new technology. However, they're trying to get more phone manufacturers in on this to make them see you don't have to add inductive charging into your phone to make it more expensive. Let people add it later. That is fantastic. I cannot wait to see what comes of this.
It's technically a different application, though. It's still an inductive charger. It's the exact same thing the Touch Tone provided to the WebOS phones back in 2009.
Nice.
Failed already. You know, I know. I had to bring that up.
You know, I was at Office Depot in the clearance aisle the other day, and I found a Touchstone charging cradle.
Yep.
So you know.
See, and that was an after the fact add on too. The Palm Pre and the Palm Pixie did not come with the back inherently for the Touchstone charger.
Yeah, you had to. Buy
it was an accessory you could get afterward.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people hacked that Touchstone charger into other phones too.
I know, yeah. The Evo was the actually it was super easy to do to the Evo.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yep.
All right.
And also on that, for those of you wondering what the NFC is going to be about, I'm going to assume they're stealing. They're going to adapt a similar technology to what HP put into the Touchstone chargers with the launch of the touchpad, and that's location sensitive charging, which changes how the device can behave in regards to where it's at.
Very cool.
Yeah, it'll allow it to recognize what charger it's on,
which would be very nice. Now, for things like the actual NFC, the only thing that's in this little card is the antenna, but it'd be very easy for a cell phone manufacturer to put two contacts for extra add-on for NFC later on, and for Duracell to tap into those.
Correct.
So, you know, get to it, cell phone makers. And Duracell, please, for the love of all that is holy, send this out there quickly. And specifically for the Samsung Nexus S4G.
I agree.
Yes, I need it. I need it.
I'm a huge fan of wireless charging.
Send me a review unit. I'll charge the living crap out of my phone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. That is your turn. We'll cover a couple more things here.
Oh, we're taking turns? I didn't realize this.
Yeah, if you got another thing that came out at Mobile World Congress real quick that you want to talk about, anything that specifically, you know, came out that wasn't one of the billions of cookie cutter phones that came out.
Mm-hmm. I believe Asus had an interesting device launch. Give me one second here, because I closed my link, because I do that. Yes, the Asus Pad Phone. You want to talk about that one next?
Sure.
All right, just getting the host permission.
All right. Well, have you read a whole bunch about this? Because I actually went into I wouldn't call it in depth, but I actually got more involved in looking at this thing after. Yeah, you know, I think it was an episode or two ago. I actually poo-pooed this idea, and I'm starting to kind of take it back, and kind of not.
Well, then I've got good and bad news for you. The good news is that it's actually a very efficient system in regards to what it can do. It's more or less a similar idea to the Atrix, except broken down into three parts instead of two. The Atrix had a laptop dock that it plugged into. This is effectively an Asus cell phone, an Android phone, plugs into a slot in the back of a tablet, which is just a screen and battery, and then the tablet has the option of slotting onto a hard keyboard. So you get three devices. You know, you have three pieces, but you have one device that can be three things: a phone, a tablet, or a laptop.
Yeah, and see, there are actually two things that they added since the last time we heard about this that have started to change my mind. The first one being the keyboard dock, because from Asus I expected a keyboard dock, and they hadn't come out with it for the Pad Phone. They finally say that it's coming, and it, you know, that is a better idea, because now I've got, you know, I mean, the phone itself is 4.3 inches, so yeah, a tablet expands it a little bit, but, you know, I mean, not that much. It doesn't expand the functionality that much. Then you add the keyboard dock, that expands the functionality of the phone quite a bit. So now that's interesting. Also, the other thing they added was the stylus. Now, a lot of people say, oh, styluses, nobody needs a stylus. This one has a special little doodad, a little caveat. What it does, not only is it a stylus, but when you're using it, it also doubles as a receiver for taking phone calls. So if you're using the phone in the tablet and don't have a Bluetooth headset, the phone starts to ring, the stylus is the phone. You press a button, you hold it up to your ear, it has a microphone, it's good to go. How awesome is that? I mean, that's almost as good as Maxwell Smart opening up the shoe phone thing, you know? It's like, hold on, I have to answer my PIN.
Actually, that is a brilliant idea.
It really is. I was taken aback by it. It's like, wow, that is the best idea I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's innovation, which is actually, I mean, Asus does a really good job of making their devices functional, their hardware functional, but that's pretty damn brilliant.
Yeah, it is. All right, so the Pad Phone, not as bad as we thought.
No. There is, for those of you wondering, one downside, and that is this thing is massive. It weighs a lot. Bit. So for those of you who like your nice little light MacBook Airs, you're not even going to be remotely interested in it. And it's also probably not coming to the United States. That's the other downer.
Wah, wah.
Yes. But again, as with almost all new technology anyway, it generally previews in Asian and European markets just because, I don't, it seems to be easier to market stuff like that there. So gotcha. You don't have to create as large of a first production run as you would need to here.
True, true. All right. The next thing on our docket is, and by the way, we are done with Mobile World Congress news because if you go and look on any of the billion websites that are covering Mobile World Congress, trust me, it's a bunch of handsets that look exactly the same.
Yes.
Every one of them. I was telling you earlier before we started recording that I was incredibly underwhelmed by the offerings of Mobile World Congress this year because everything looks exactly the same. I mean, before, at least everything had some kind of a gimmick, but man, every phone is a black 4x3 or 4.3 inch slate. it's thin or it's got an extra battery or a big camera, and it's ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least Samsung, when they came out with the Nexus S, it had a curved screen. You know, the Galaxy Nexus has a curved screen. So, I mean, that's something. But even that's cutting the cheese a little thin. So,
mm-hmm. Especially because curved screens, I mean, that was around, that's been around on phones since 08, 07, 08.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Oh, because I know for sure the, I know in 09 there were at least five devices that had either a concave or a, dang, what's the other one?
Convex.
Concave. And, oh, yes. Screen to them.
Yeah. So if you want to go look at them, go look at them. But let me save you the trouble. Black 4.3-inch slate that runs Android. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep. For those of you wondering what devices to buy this upcoming year, wait for the next iPhone to launch towards the end of the year. Pick up the current iPhone. Pick up the current the Galaxy Nexus, pick up the Galaxy Nexus, pick up anything, pick the core device of any given operating system up. In this situation, if you're looking at Windows Phone 7, wait for the Nokia 900, Lumia 900.
Yeah.
Wait for the flagships. If you're not interested in spending $100 to $200 on a device, wait till Christmas. If you don't feel like waiting till Christmas, pick up any $50 Android phone, free Android phone, whatever. They're all the same.
Or if you want to get a $200 handset for $100, your best bet is to wait for the new iPhone and get the old one.
Exactly.
The 4S will still be an amazing piece of hardware, so you know it's going to go down by $100 like it always does. Just yes. Apple is predictable. Just wait and do it, you know.
Yes.
And if you're looking to get an iPad 2, well, go to Gazelle and pick up a used iPad 2 after the iPad 3 comes out, and boom, you know, they'll have tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Next on the docket, and I'm going to let you kind of drive this one. You've done a little bit more research into this than I have. It's Mozilla's Boot to Gecko, which is a new smartphone operating system by the people who brought you the Mozilla browser. Tell me a little bit about it.
Okay. This is Mozilla's attempt to do two things. One, get a little bit of that mobile pie that it has been missing out on with its terrible Firefox mobile browser, and start getting a little bit more power in the mobile field, and two, even the playing field between it and its competitors, Internet Explorer, Chrome OS, and Safari. Boot to Gecko is it's their new operating system. Be out sometime this year. Currently, they have SDKs available for it. Or developer SDKs. It is the same idea, actually, behind WebOS. Create an operating system with a Linux core, in this case using Android, the bare elements of Android, but then on top of that, only have a browser environment. Everything runs effectively in a browser. No other operating system part is needed. This operating system is entirely HTML and Java driven. What that means is that you develop an app for it. It's more or less that app is, in fact, just a browser page, just a website running inside of a browser, inside of a browser. Little browserception going on. The advantage to this, developers, is that when you code for Boot to Gecko and you make an app for it, if Mozilla succeeds in pushing their standards change to the powers that be, that means your app is going to run on any browser that exists that is modern. So you have one app on Boot to Gecko in the Mozilla marketplace, and sure enough, that's going to run in Internet Explorer. It's going to run in Internet Explorer mobile. It's going to run in Safari, Safari mobile. It's going to run in Chrome OS. It's going to run in Chrome. It's going to run on Android's various browsers. No longer will you need to spend time recoding the app for even using any of the various app recoding services that make it easier, you won't have to worry about that anymore.
Because it's an app that runs in a browser. In
yes.
a browser.
I like that setting. Oh. So that's effectively it.
That's fun.
Yeah. I want to know entirely, everything hinges entirely on how it multitasks to me. Is it going to be a weird tab system? Because that would be awesome, you know, because that's reminiscent of how Windows has always worked. You have a bunch of windows open, but they're all down at the bottom, and you click on whichever one it is you want. That's effectively how browsers have evolved to use tabs. So if it uses that route, then yeah, we've got effectively a functional, truly multitasking system that is the exact same as the multitasking system that's been around for 30 years now, Windows. Completely inherent and comfortable in use. So I'm excited for it. The fact that it is entirely completely open source and written in HTML means every high school graduate plus will be able to write for it, customize it. It's going to have a huge community, I have no doubt. Even if it's never popular, it's going to have one heck of a hacking community.
Very cool.
Yes.
It's one of those things where I understand Mozilla wanting to get into it, and it sounds interesting, but man, to be them starting a mobile OS in the middle of Android and iOS, and now Windows Phone is starting to finally come up, it's going to be rough.
And we're seeing a lot of pushing on BlackBerry's fronts again, or RIM's front, with Playbook 2.0.
Which looks very interesting and kind of makes me want to get a Playbook.
Yes. And, you know, HP is not completely given up on Open Web OS yet. And we have Samsung working on Tizen, and we still have Intel's pushing with various whatever open operating system they're currently pushing. You know, the fact is that even though there's the big two, Android and iOS, it's actually a really, really crowded playing field. People won't admit it just yet, but it's very crowded.
All right. Next thing on our list is Verizon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. This is actually not so bad. This is Verizon CFO has said that shared data plans will be coming in the middle of this year. Shared data plans, of course, are kind of like the easiest way to say it is family data plans. You know, you have a lump of data for everyone on the plan, and everyone shares it. Which is actually pretty good if, you know, they give you a big enough lump and, you know, the kids use, you know, a lot of data. And then mom and dad don't use hardly any data whatsoever. It actually evens out pretty well because mom and dad wouldn't have gotten the data plan if it was just them. So, you know, it'll be cool, you know, and it'll help people save money, which is good.
The thing is I thought whenever I first heard about it and shared data plans, I was for them. Since then, I have become greatly against them.
And why is that?
The change was with shared minute plans, mom and dad know 60 minutes is, well, a 60 minutes. You know, if you talk on the phone for an hour, you've used 60 minutes. Data's not that easy. It's, in fact, very difficult to know, you know, what any given app, what any given device updates in the background, syncing in the background. It's so difficult to know any given moment how much data it is you're actually using. You get a 20 gigabyte plan and you have four people on your device. Yeah, that sounds like 5 gigabytes per person. That sounds great. But you have a teenager on there. They, I almost guarantee it, will probably use between, you know, 3 to 6 gigabytes. But as we see a higher push for music services and TV services and just video services in general, and as coverage and reception and data speeds get better, this is just going to cause a lot of headaches for families.
Very true. Very true. It's just one more thing to keep track of.
Exactly. And it's not like, all right, you go and you get a $700 phone bill. Why? You go to the store, you call into Verizon, like, whoa, hey, why is my bill $700? Well, it looks like this phone number decided to use 12 gigabytes of data. And you're like, all right, they're dead. Then you go and discipline the one who did it. With this, yeah, you're still going to be able to tell, but it's going to be when somebody else wants to use it and they're not going to be able to, or it's going to charge, well, it's this kid's fault, but he was using what was available. You know, it's something that, especially as mom and dad get smartphones and mom might start listening to Pandora on her morning jog, or dad might listen into, you know, his hour drive to work. It's going to cause issues. I more than likely see it as something that's not going to stick around now, especially after Verizon deals with the customer calls and the fixing of the $700 bills a few times.
Very true. All right. Well, what if I were to tell you that you wouldn't have to worry about going over on your data because the developer of the app you're using has already paid for that data?
Segway.
Now I see why you jumped away.
Smart
man.
Yes, that's why they're together in the notes. All right.
You need to put little asterisks there so I know.
Okay. I'll just start putting in quotes. Flawless segue.
Yeah. Segue.
Now, AT&T is proposing a service that will allow app developers to pay for their users' data use, meaning that an app like Netflix, for instance, if you paid for, you know, your subscription to Netflix, Netflix would basically say, anyone who's using our app, we will pay for their mobile data use, meaning that does not come, if you have a 2 gigabyte plan, you can watch Netflix movies all day long, and Netflix will pick up the bill. It will not come out of your 2 gigabytes. That, to me, it's basically the 1-800 number of the future. You know, it's the person owning the app is the one who's actually paying, not the person who bought it. So this sounds like it could blow up in a lot of people's faces, but on the surface, it sounds kind of amazing to me.
I think it is great for getting TV services on phones, which has failed multiple times and will continue to fail until there's something like this. You want to watch your ESPN? Well, now they can make an app that streams ESPN content. Well, they do that, and then you eat up your data usage, or you only use it in Wi-Fi. The fact is that you're reducing your target audience, your market, your possible income, simply on the fact that it's eating up so much data. This lets big corporations, sadly, it doesn't really favor small independent companies, but it helps out corporations get what we've already all been watching onto our devices, and that is good.
I mean, if they come out with this, this will be a very interesting thing. Like I said, it does have the ability to blow up in a lot of people's faces, but it's elective. You don't have to be a developer who pays for your users' data. It would just be a perk to help sell your app. You know, this app may be $10, whereas an app that does the exact same thing is only $5, but our app doesn't take your data. So, you know, I mean, if you use the app a lot, that extra $5 might be worth it. It's a one-time fee to use it as much as you want.
I doubt it will be on any one-time fee apps. I actually expect it to be on the monthly renewal apps.
Really? Well, that makes sense. But I guess it would depend entirely on the app and the maker, because big companies, you know, might be okay with ditching the money.
Don't know if that makes sense.
I'm a really optimistic person when it comes to the human race as a whole.
Well, in that situation, actually, Pandora is a perfect app for it. I could see them charging a one-time fee because they're a bit smaller. Even though they're one of the most used music services out there, the fact is if they charge monthly, or even if you have the option to charge monthly, I still don't think that many people would do it because they're so accustomed to how much they use Pandora. They know they've already worked it into their habits. Whereas Spotify is not yet as popular as Pandora on most because of the amount of extra, you know, it obviously already costs, you know, $10 a month to use to use Spotify on your mobile devices. They are ones that I would see benefiting from it because then they could advertise, hey, we don't use your data.
That's true.
And I could see this being a huge advantage for companies like that who are already charging the monthly service fee.
Very true. I bow to you, sir.
Do what I can.
Well, you know. AT&T, because we like talking about them.
Flawless segue.
Oh, yeah. Has this one's actually not in the notes. So
good,
I'm going,
I was really confused.
I'm going off script. But I thought this needed to be talked about. It's AT&T has to do with data throttling. A customer with AT&T that was part of their top 5% of highest data users decided he wasn't going to – he was mad as hell and he's not going to take it anymore. And what he did is he actually took AT&T to small claims court because they were throttling his data down to a ridiculous amount after only 2 gigabytes worth of use. The court actually ruled in his favor and ended up giving him – awarding him $850 worth of damages. How cool is that?
Good.
Now, don't plan on there being any class action lawsuits against this because there is a clause in your AT&T contract that says you can't bring a class action lawsuit against them. That does not stop you from getting them into small claims court.
Or going into a higher court if you're one of those rich individuals who could do that as an individual.
Yeah. Now, AT&T has said that they're going to appeal this. Why they're appealing $850 in a multi-million dollar company, that is kind of ridiculous. I understand it sets a precedent, but still.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. Let it go. Just let it be. I hate AT&T.
Yes.
Ralph De La Vega, sit down and rotate. All right. I have just one more thing. This also has to do with the courts.
Flawless.
Three in one podcast and three in a row.
Well done.
I know. I try. I try really hard. Anyway, with all kinds of software out there like TrueCrypt and things like that that let you encrypt hard drives, BitLocker. What's the Apple one? Apple has one. I can't remember what it's called, but Apple has a built-in encryption algorithm for their OS as well. It's one of those things where if you have sensitive data and you don't want anyone to ever get into it, or if you're doing something illegal, I don't know, it's just mm-hmm. between you and your computer, you want to encrypt that data. You want to keep it from prying eyes. A court, the particulars of this are nauseatingly dull, but basically one of the defendants in the court was it had a piece of data on his laptop that was it was actually encrypted. It encrypted once the computer was turned on, so it was automatic. And basically, they said that if the court wanted them to show them the data, they were going to forget the password. They were threatened with all kinds of bad junk, saying, oh, you know, you have to give us the password. We should be able to look into this. It's encrypted. We know it's bad info. All this. Basically, what the courts have said is that if you do not know what the data is, then you cannot ask for it to be decrypted. You can, you know, the person who's been accused of whatever can offer to decrypt it. But if someone is trying to build a case against someone else, they cannot force anyone. You cannot be forced to decrypt your data unless the courts know what that data is. If they know that it's a tax document showing that you owe so much money in back taxes, then you're stuck. Then you have to do it. If it's a QuickBooks, if it's a QuickBooks file and they think it's a Word document, then you're free and clear. You don't have to give them that information. You do not have to decrypt it because basically the caveat, the loophole that they're using here is the fact that the Fifth Amendment allows you to not testify against yourself. And what they're saying is by giving out that password, You are actually providing testimony against yourself in the form of that data. So, Fifth Amendment says you do not have to do that. Now, like I said, there is that one catch where if they know what the data is, you're pretty much SOL JWF. But, like, hey, how many times do they go after data that they need decrypted that they already know what it is? They need it decrypted because they don't know what it is. So, this makes encrypting my entire hard drive a much more appealing venture. Not that I do anything illegal.
Yes. Well, this is good and bad. I mean, it is one of those things, just like the court can't order you to admit you're guilty. I mean, Fifth Amendment, you can't do that. You don't have to do that. They can't do that. They cannot pass a judgment or ruling or anything that forces you to admit you're guilty. This is the exact same thing. I mean, there's no, you know, legally you're supposed to hand over evidence or anything pertaining to a crime. But at the same time, you don't have to say when you do that, you don't say this is the gun I used to kill the man. Exactly. They can't force you to do that.
Yeah.
So it's shaky. It favors big corporations and politicians and bad guys quite a bit. At the same time, it's a liberty that is nice as me as a free citizen to have.
Well, definitely. You know, you don't want to be forced to testify against yourself because, I mean, you know, that's one of the core foundations of the judicial system is that you aren't forced to give yourself up, basically. You can fight to the bitter end.
Interestingly enough, also, you always have the right to remain silent, and the courts can't strip that away either.
Come on.
Yeah, what's that?
Nobody takes that one. They're always blabbing.
Oh, I know. But in regards to the password, what's the password? I have the right to remain silent.
Exactly, and that's the Fifth Amendment right there.
Yeah, you can't make me talk. You cannot make me. I don't have to write it down. I don't have to do anything. It is now your job to decrypt it and have fun.
Yes.
Because that takes a long, 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 long time.
Especially considering when I use TrueCrypt, which is actually my encryption program of choice. When I use TrueCrypt, I sit there and when it generates a seed, I literally sit there for like 10 minutes just twiddling my finger on the mouse to generate that random seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, have fun.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you really want that data.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you also don't ever have to admit what encryption service you use if you later on you know, remove it or anything else like that. So,
exactly.
With the amount of encryption services out there, not only do you not have to say which one you use, so there's no hope in ever figuring out what algorithm could have possibly done it. They're just screwed.
Pretty much. And, you know, it's don't do anything illegal where you're going to need this, but understand that you do have this kind of a right. And in previous episodes, we've talked about other countries and the lack of rights, so I think it's only right that we bring up the fact that while a lot of people think our rights are being taken away one by one, it is nice to see the fact that some courts are still fighting for our rights.
Yes.
So, that's nice. All right, Sam, we ran a little bit long this time, but it was Mobile World Congress. So, you know, it happens. Why don't you tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
Find me on Twitter, The Manitou Man. Find me at Gmail and any, obviously, Google-related service now, since I'm now all over the place there. Manitouman@gmail.com. Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com. Never got around to creating anything else. Really bad at this.
Well, what are you going to do, right? You know,
yeah.
You can't be
still
everywhere.
No. And
unless you're me.
I mean, I guess if you search me out on Facebook, you can do that too, but there's never anything relevant ever posted on my Facebook. It is literally just randomness. I mean, not even fun randomness, just randomness. So Twitter is probably the best place to hook up with me. So,
Right. For me, you can find me on Twitter. That's the best place. It's at Pen of Doom, PenofDoom. You can find me on, or at, my email is jesse@8daysageek.com. You can also find me on about.me/Jesse Miller. That has pretty much all of my stuff on it. It's ridiculous, really. Trying to keep up with everything that I do is hard even for me. So, I mean, I'm looking at my about.me page, and I have a Twitter, a Flickr, a WordPress. I have 8 Days a Geek. I have a couple podcasts. I have a Tumblr. It makes me sick. So, just go there and look at everything. And that's probably your best bet. All right. If you'd like to call us or text us and tell us what you think about the podcast, or make a comment on something that we've said, even if you hate our guts, just let us know. I'd love to hear from you. That number is 754-273-6397. One more time. That number is 754-273-6397. And that wasn't encrypted or anything. So it should be easy for you to dial. All right. Well, we are going to get out of here. Join us next week for more fun and fantastic tech news. Sam, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Did it exactly right that time. Congratulations. We'll see you guys.
I'm getting better. Getting it down.
All right. You're learning how to be a host.
Yes.
One day, you'll take all this will be yours.
Woohoo.
I'm sure you're really excited. Nobody wants my job. That's job security, really, is the fact that nobody wants it.
Exactly.
We'll see you guys next week. Yeah, I'm afraid that's probably the issue, is that nobody wants it. So I'm kind of stuck with it.
You're up there with janitors and trashmen.
Up there with janitors and trashmen. Nice.